Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music there tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. On Wednesday nights, we're going through and preaching and teaching on the life of Joshua. And there's so much there in his life, and so glad that God has preserved it for us that we might learn from it and learn of the biblical principles associated with the life of Joshua as well. And Joshua had learned from Israel's past mistakes. For now, they're back up to the promised land before they're going to go over Jordan, before they go into the promised land. He ends up doing the same thing that God had instructed Moses to do, only this time he limited the possibilities for mistakes. Instead of sending 10 in or 12 in, he sends 2 in and 2 spies, and they are to report back to him. And what a blessing it was to just to study that, to know that we are to learn from our mistakes and past failures and limit the possibility of failures by changing and doing things differently. And so we find here that Joshua had not been instructed on how many to send. But after he had learned if they'd only had 2 the first time, they had been in the promised land 40 years earlier. Because 2 of them come back with a report that all of them should have brought back. And they brought it to the people. This time he instructed those 2 spies to bring the information back to him. And he was not going to let the people be persuaded not to go in a second time. And so what a blessing that was again, and we need to learn from that ourselves, learn from those principles. Well, now we find that they're coming up to the Jordan River. He's leading the people to the Jordan River, and we find here in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, something else that takes place that I think we can learn from if we just kind of open up our hearts and our minds to what God has for us tonight. Now, I've been observing, everyone seems tired. You know, I mean, praise the Lord, you got through it and you come to church. There's many that didn't get here tonight, amen? And I don't know, that live stream might be a detriment at some point. If you're listening to me, you should have been here tonight. If you could have been here, you should have been here. Don't get reliant on that live stream because we don't want to use that as a crutch. There's nothing like assembling ourselves together in this place. Can I tell you, just by being here, you're an encouragement to everyone else that's here tonight? You look around, you realize that there's a lot of people that feel like it's important to be in church on Wednesday night. There's a lot of people that have a desire to receive what God has for them when they have an opportunity to hear the Word of God being preached or being taught. And so you're an encouragement to everyone else that's here tonight. So give yourself a pat on the back. Smile and stand, and we'll read the Word of God with us for us tonight, and we'll look to receive what God has for us this evening. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, again for this, the privilege of the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for the precious holy word that you've preserved for us, the opportunity we have to preach and to teach it. Pray that you'd just bless the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It had been 40 years. A whole generation had died, passed off the scene, those who failed to go in before. It's a new generation. It's their turn. It's their opportunity. It's been 40 years in getting back to this place. Wow. Just think about that. A lot of things happened in 40 years. Been in the ministry for going on 42 years. This church has been in existence for 36 years. Wow. And you look back, those early pictures, and you can tell a lot of things have changed. Yeah. A lot of things happen in life. 40 years. It would be the greatest event in their lifetime. For this generation of children of Israel, it's their opportunity, and it would be the greatest event, the highlight. If they had went in 40 years earlier, it would have been the highlight. But they failed, that generation. They died in the wilderness with no victories. 40 years later, they have their turn. The crossing of the Jordan on dry ground. That's the miracle. That's what's going to take place. It would mean a change of life. A change of life for this new generation. A change of life was just ahead of them. They would no longer be in the wilderness. They would own their own land. They would be able to build houses. They would be able to establish their own government by which they wanted to have in place according to the word of God and the will of God. A change of life. Has anybody got a change of life on the horizon? There's a lot of things that changes our lives. Yeah. Graduating from high school changes your life. Yeah. Going to college. We have a lot of our college students home now. Their lives are being changed. They're realizing it's not the same when they come home. Somehow or other, the parents took over their bedrooms and changed it all. Now they feel like visitors in their own rooms, in their own house. Can I tell you, it'll never be the same. You're back home, it's not the same. You're different. College changes you. Leaving the home changes you. Getting married changes you. A new life, a different life, a change. When you have children, it changes things. Just, this is where they're at. A change is in the horizon. God has plans. God has purposes. So before they go over the Jordan, before God will perform this miracle, we find that Joshua leads them up to Jordan. And as he leads them up to Jordan, he has them lodged there at the Jordan River before they pass over for 3 days. Now, everything that God does, especially in the life of his children, he has a purpose for. Why? Why did he wait 3 days? Now, there's a couple of different thoughts on this, and I believe there's more than one reason, but one of the things is, when they first came to the Jordan River, do you realize how scary it would have been? The Jordan River was in a flood stage. The waters were over the banks, the Bible says. That means the water would have been so swift. You ever seen a flooded river? I mean, it can take trees down. It can take houses down through there. And it just, boy, when they first got there, they would see and hear the water. What would happen? What would be in their hearts when they think that they're going to have to cross it? I guarantee you, their first impression would have been fear. We've got to somehow get our women and somehow get our children and somehow get our animals and somehow get all of our possessions, and we have to cross this Jordan River. And when they first get there, they hear the river, they hear the wind and everything else going along with the river. They hear all that ahead of time. They come up to it, and now they see it overflowing the banks. There's huge, great fear, at least for the first day. I think the longer they were there, the more they would have gotten adjusted to the flooded banks and the rushing waters. That first day would have been great fear. Second day, maybe didn't fear it as much. Why? Because kind of get used to certain things. Have you ever allowed a first impression to control your thoughts? Have you ever had a first impression of an individual that gave you thoughts that really turned out to be wrong? You've seen somebody in your mind, you think, that first impression, they're this, this, and this, and this, and this. The way they're dressed, the way they look, the way they talk, first impression is, I don't like that guy. I don't like that person. And then the more you get to know them, and the more you hear them talk, and the more that you are able to allow them to get to know you and get to know them, your impression starts changing. But our first impressions, if we're not careful, can control our thinking, and our thinking could be wrong. They're going to cross the Jordan, and God's going to perform a miracle. But to start with, the fear was in their hearts, the fear of change, the fear of having to do this. The second day, maybe had a little more time to meditate, a little more time to pray, a little more time to adjust their thinking to what God did for their forefathers. And not only a river, but he parted the seas. They might not have thought about that because the water, the rushing of the water and all the things would have taken that away from them. But now they get used to that, and they start thinking about God and being God's people, being in God's will. If you know you're in God's will, can I tell you, it takes the fear away of the changes of life. If you're in Bible college and you know that's God's will for your life, it takes the fear away. If you're on the mission field, as long as you know you're in the will of God, it can take the fear away. So possibly here, 3 days, lodge there for 3 days. Maybe to help adjust their thinking. And as they're adjusting their thinking, to spend time focusing on the task at hand. Why am I here? What is God's purpose for my life? Maybe start thinking more of God's purpose than the circumstances that the change is going to bring into your life. Sometimes we need to just gather our thoughts and do something I tell people to do from time to time, because I had to learn to do it myself. Talk to yourself. Sometimes it's only you and God and your circumstances, and you have to give yourself a pep talk. Have you ever done that? If you're not careful, instead of giving yourself a pep talk, then you will discourage yourself. I know there's a spirit of God that influences us, and I know there's a spirit of Satan that's there, and that demonic presence that can influence us. There's an evil influence, and there's a spiritual positive influence, but you also have your influence. And nobody knows what's going on inside of your heart and your mind but you and God. And sometimes you have to learn to talk to yourself, because there's nobody else there that understands what's going on, and they don't know exactly what you need to hear anyway, but you know what you need to hear. You know what kind of thinking you must have in your heart and your mind. In order to have right thinking, you have to know what's right to think and then tell yourself to think that way. And sometimes I just need to give myself a pep talk and stop feeling sorry for myself and say, get up and get the job done. God has a purpose for your life. If he was done with you, you wouldn't be here. Yes, you'd like to have a younger you. Who wouldn't? Yes, you might even would like to have a lesser weight you. But you got you. And God has a purpose for you. Maybe you need to adjust your fear. Start realizing why you're where you're at. Know that God has a purpose for you where you're at. Gather your thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a very familiar. Let me just turn there and read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the end of this letter, Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth, and he's telling them about everything that they have to look forward to as far as heaven, glorified bodies, the sting of death being done away with. And then in the very last verse of this chapter 15, he says, therefore, having all these good thoughts, having all the understanding that God has given you and understanding what the future holds, therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast. Paul says, give yourself a pep talk. Based on what everything that God has promised, based on what you know to be true, based on all these different things, give yourself a pep talk. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Greatest pep talk in the New Testament, I believe. Therefore. Well, we need to do that. We need to learn to do that. Joshua has them there to get used to the flood, to get used to the swift current, to get used to the Jordan without fear. Go back in our text. He lodged there for 3 days. After 3 days, the Bible says in verse 2, and after 3 days, that the officers, those who have been given positions of leadership and influence, we've talked about the officers before here with Joshua. God has an order. God does everything decently in order. And he has positions of encouragement. He has positions of leadership over his people. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And that it is the ark. The officers commanded the people to go after the ark. Can I tell you that that was to dedicate yourself to follow the visible manifestation of God's presence, the ark. Preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, anyone that has an influence, anyone that has a platform by which you can influence others, it's important that we do this. You need to stay encouraged to be able to encourage others. Influence others to dedicate themselves to following, listen to me, the visible manifestation of God's presence. At this time, the visible manifestation of what they looked to as being God's presence was the ark. If you study the Old Testament, you'll find the ark was unquestionably and undeniably the most important visible manifestation of God's presence for people to follow. It was the ark, the law, priests and the prophets. That was the influence. Turn away from all the other influences and look to be influenced by these things, because that's what God has established for us to be influenced by. Today, praise the Lord, the visible manifestation of God came by way of Jesus Christ in human flesh. And while Christ walked on the earth, bringing to us the completion of the Holy Scriptures, they were to focus on him, and they were to listen to him and just hang on every word and take it and follow it. Before he would leave, he would complete the scriptures and establish his church. So the scriptures and the church are the visible manifestation of the presence of God for us today. And yet we're not looking to that. We're being sidetracked by so many other things. And yet that's what we need to get back to. Yes, in this 21st century, in the United States of America, this is so important that we get back to what God has given to us, the visible manifestation of His presence, and it is found in His Word and His church, the true church, the church that has the doctrines of Christ. Second Timothy chapter 3. And you can write this down, go back and study. But check 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul understood this. He's trying to get this across to Timothy, who would be an influence in the first century church, a powerful influence in the first century church. And he says this, he says 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Make sure that you're looking to those that has established who they are and they follow Christ, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Don't lose sight of that. We need to be shouting at the top of our lungs if necessary and try to influence all the people we can possibly influence to look to what God has established in our day and age as a visible manifestation of His presence, which is His Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the second thing that we would find is the church. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is," listen to me, "the church of the living God." This is His representation. This is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We don't need to get away from the church that Jesus Christ established. We don't need to go to all these para-ministries. We don't need to replace church with live stream. And we don't need to replace church with whatever you might want to replace it with. God has established it for us, and it is a visible manifestation of the presence of God. We need to build it up. Best way to build it up is to be faithful to it. You promote it by your own testimony. I would love to have every member in this auditorium every time the church doors are open. Praise God for those who have dedicated themselves to do that. And that's what it takes. It takes every individual dedicating themselves to follow the ark of God. Verse 4 says that ye may know the way. Follow the ark that ye may know the way. And then he says, "For ye have not passed this way hitherto for." We're in uncharted territory. Things are changing. Change was on the horizon. Don't know what's beyond the Jordan. But God does. Not been beyond the Jordan before. This is as far as we've ever been. And then we failed and we went back. But we're here again. Uncharted territory. But God's not left us without a guide. I love going places that I don't know where to go to catch the fish or to bag the game, but I got a guide that does. And he can take me out there and put me on the fish. Because he knows where they're at. He knows the property. He knows what to expect. He knows what we're looking for, what we have need of, and he'll put us right there, and he'll take us to it. Praise the Lord for those
who have been there. We have never been there. It's uncharted. What's going to happen next year? What's going to happen in the rest of our lifetime? What kind of a society will our children have? I don't know, but I do know that God does, and He has a guide for them. The most important thing you can do in your lifetime is to direct your children to look to God's representation, to understand His word. He will always have a visible manifestation of His presence. They need to find it. They need to follow it. Don't ever lose your influence over your children. That's a sad, sad place to be. You know what they need, and yet they won't listen to you. They don't know that they need to listen to you. They're blinded. Just keep telling them. Just keep showing them. Go back. We're done here. We're going to be closing here at the last point. Chapter 3 and verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. Now, we already established that it is the presence of God, the altar. And 2,000 cubits, that's a half of a mile. They were not to come within a half a mile. Interested? Wanna know why? There's over 1 million people. With their carts and with their animals and with their possessions, and they're going to cross over Jordan. God does everything decently in order. And when He tells you to do something, He makes a way for you to be able to do it. If He hadn't put distance between the people and the ark, people would block other people's view of the ark. Can you imagine 1 million people with all these different things, and everybody starting trying to stay focused on the ark? And yet, there's a lot of things that can get in your way and distract you from focusing on the ark. People can distract you from staying focused on God. Their failures. Their direction. Things can block out your view of the presence of God. Bigger home. Nicer things. Nothing wrong with that. As long as it's not blocking your view of God. As long as you're not choosing that over God and His will for your life and His direction for your life. I guarantee you, our young people going to Bible college, they're not going there to be able to make a lot of money. They're not looking for diplomas that's going to make them all the money that they can make. No, they feel the call of God upon their life, and they're at a Bible college preparing for ministry. They're not going to let this world's things blind them or block them from seeing God and God's will for their life. Now, I'm not saying every child, every person is not called to ministry. That's something totally different. I'm just saying whatever God's called you to, don't let anything block out your view of God. Over 1 million people, more like 2 million people, but a half a mile. So nothing would obstruct their view of the ark. Isn't that good? If you're having trouble discerning God's will, check your location and your view.
Have you positioned yourself to see and know the will of God for your life? Have you got a clear view of what is the visible manifestation of God's presence for us today? Are you allowing the Bible to influence you? Are you allowing the church of God to influence you? Those are all the things that they had to get settled before God would perform the miracle of opening up the Red or the Jordan River and allowing them to walk across on dry ground. What a blessing. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Wow. Great truths. God's recorded it for us, preserved it for us. Are we looking to it? Make sure you have a clear view of the ark and the priests that were instructed to carry it as an example for us to follow. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, again for the truth of your word and for as we have this story, this life of Joshua and all that took place, but right here, what a powerful truth that we need to grasp. We're on uncharted territories. There's so much we don't know what's ahead of us, but you do. Help us to face it by continuing to focus on you and what you've given to us to represent you. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.